And always, always, always. Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. Analysts expect the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates when it meets tomorrow. It'll be the first time it's done so in more than 4 years. Economists say the aim would be to prevent a recession driven by the credit crunch and housing slowdown. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warned inflation will rise about 5% in the U.S. and Europe. However, he says it looks like the American economy will weather the slumping housing market without falling into a recession. President Bush named retired federal judge Michael Mukasey as his choice to be U.S. Attorney General, the post vacated by Alberto Gonzalez, who resigned due to the federal prosecutor's firing scandal. If confirmed, many see Mukasey as a stabilizing force for a Justice Department that needs it. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice promises a fair and transparent investigation into the shooting deaths of 8 Iraqi civilians by Blackwater security contractors. The Iraqi government ordered Blackwater to leave the country, putting more of a strain on U.S. forces. In Iraq, U.S. forces say they've arrested a man responsible for the death of an Anbar sheikh lobbying for peace in the region. France's Prime Minister François Fillon today said everything must be done to avoid the prospect of war with Iran. That comment was made just a day after his foreign minister said Paris and the world should prepare for the possibility of war with Iran over its nuclear program. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says he will resign from the military in order to run for re-election in November. The general seized power in a coup 8 years ago. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez threatened to close any private school that refuses to subscribe to his socialist government as it develops new curriculum and textbooks. Chavez's opponents accuse him of trying to indoctrinate young Venezuelans. Women in Saudi Arabia have banded together to petition their king for the right to drive. Their supporters say it is a social issue and not a political or religious issue. 2 years ago, a similar suggestion sparked a divisive debate in government. Some relatives of the victims of 9/11 decided to settle their lawsuits filed against the airlines and their security contractors. 14 of 35 remaining cases settled today. You're listening to QNN.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The newest study on hand washing finds that about 33% of men and 12% of women don't bother to wash their hands after using the bathroom. Researchers spied on people in public restrooms for the data. Basic hand washing is the best way to prevent the spread of illness. Dole Food Company recalled bagged salads sold in the U.S. and Canada over E. coli fears. At a Canadian grocery store, a sample of Dole Heart's Delight bagged salads tested positive for E. coli. The recalled salads have a best-if-used-by date of September 19th. Europe's second most important court today upheld a landmark ruling that found Microsoft abused European market antitrust laws by bundling its software, restricting consumers' choice. Microsoft is ordered to pay $613 million. Discount broker E-Trade says it plans to cut its wholesale mortgage business. It also lowered profit expectations by 25% for the year. The nation's largest banks are set to give their earnings reports tomorrow. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.57 a barrel. Gold is trading at $723.80 an ounce. That's up $6. The Dow ended down 39 points at 13,403. The NASDAQ closed down 21. The S&P down 8. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 42 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. And in fact, if you are listening on a Monday evening, September the 17th, at about 9 p.m. Eastern, you are listening to a live program. The telephone number to contact the show and to be on the air is toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates to 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can save the network a nickel or a dollar by using 304-658-3333. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I try to check that during the breaks. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you're going to find links to all of the guests, as well as to the audio archives from past shows. You'll find links there to the chat room, which is open and active as we speak. I'm there. I can't really chat with you, but I do monitor it. So if you want to ask me a question or have me ask a guest a question via chat, that's fine. We don't have a guest this evening. This is a Just Us edition. It will give us a chance to catch up on the news. We've had so many wonderful callers and guests lately that I have a virtual archive, a virtual treasure trove of news that we haven't gotten to, and I refuse to throw it away until I tell you about it. In any case, there's some interesting things here to tell you. And let's see. The Head On Radio Network main site is also accessible from strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you can find out about all of the progressive programming on the network and about the other hosts. There are also links there to Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links on strictlyconfidentialradio.com so that you can locate most of the music that you hear on the show. And I think we've covered the intro. Yes, in fact, we have. You know, we've got a lot of new listeners, and some of them are puzzled about why we keep calling this Conversation Radio and just what in the heck do we mean? Why don't we call it Talk Radio? What's the deal with Conversation Radio? Well, there's a very big difference. When you talk to a host on the Head On Radio Network, we call it Conversation Radio because, in fact, we do not rush you. We do not cut you off and make you fit in between a commercial break. We do not have our boards set up at the studio to auto-override. Many radio boards are set up that way. By that, I mean that when the host begins speaking, your volume is automatically kicked down to zero, so you have virtually no chance to talk. These shows tend to be host-driven. By a very long way, the programs on this network are guest-driven and caller-driven. We give the callers as much respect as we would any guest. In fact, we feel that we are a guest in your home, and we thank you for joining us. Another aspect I wanted to get across this evening is some people wonder why... Uh-oh, I think I have my speaker still on. That has to go. There we go. Off. That was a chat beep. See, where was I? I was beeped in mid-sentence, and you know how badly I go wandering off behind the chickens. I have no idea what I was about to say. I'm sure it was something very important, and it will come back to me later. Okay. Oh, yes, I remember now. Regarding news coverage, This particular program focuses primarily on GLBT news. This is the sort of news that isn't always covered elsewhere. The other hosts in the network do a fine job of, and have done for quite some time, a fine job of covering GLBT issues. It's not that GLBT folks and myself don't care about other news. In fact, we deeply do. In fact, I've said to Bob when calling into his show in the past that, you know, as long as you've got the Bush administration in office, you know, GLBT, what's going on in our community is kind of, you know, until we get them out, until you get the you know, the main spoil cut off the apple, you know, it's hard to focus on our issues. But and Bob discouraged me from that point of view, and indeed he's right. But nonetheless, this program focuses on GLBT issues and news and guests. And speaking of guests, we have some fine ones coming up very soon. Soon we'll have Julia Serrano back with us. Julia is going to cover the latest attack by a fellow named Bailey, who is constantly browbeating the transsexual community. We're going to have GLESN, that stands for Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Network. GLESN, we haven't set a date on that yet, but we will be soon. Hopefully GLESN will be able to bring a student in with them. We will, on the 26th, have Bill Browning. Bill Browning is the founder and the managing editor over at Blerico Project, and we're looking forward to having Bill on the show. And there's lots of other interesting guests coming up soon. And we have a DJ coming up next week. Oh yes, Wednesday night we have none other than Brother Russell. we have a promo for Brother Russell. We'll run that. Later, we'll run that a little bit later in the program. For that, we also have coming up tomorrow night. Let's see, switching over to this one. Tomorrow night we have Elliot Soklovo. I wish I could say it. Well, we're going to have him explain it to us. It's S-O-K-O-L-O-V, Soklovov. In any case, he's a composer and a producer, and he is a musician based in New York. He has a background in classical music and rock and pop and electronica and musical theater, and that will be an interesting interview. He has music to share with us, and Elliot will join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Brother Russell will join us Wednesday night at 9 p.m. also. Okay. Sokolov. Thank you. Thank you, Production Chat. As I've said many times, I could not do this program without you. Sokolov. Yes. Speaking of Sokolov, which we're not, we're going to move into an entirely different direction at this point in time. Remember we've talked about little kids that are going to grow up Republican, how the research has followed them when they're in kindergarten, and they tend to be the ones that whine and complain and are not really that sociable. The ones who go, "Teacher, Billy hit me," the ones who feel persecuted. Those kids almost invariably grow up to be Republicans. it's a true fact. They've been followed all the way up from kindergarten to adulthood. Now, in addition to that, there is information from psychologists regarding bullying. Yes, we're in fact going to cover the pink shirt story. And this pink shirt story came out late last week. There was not a chance to mention it to you simply because of the wonderful callers and guests that we have here. But research has shown in 93 that bullies, especially, you know, school bullies and even adult bullies, they have a strong need to dominate and subdue other people and to get their way. Sounds Republican to me. They're impulsive and easily angered, which means they lash out. Sounds like Republican to me. They're often defiant and aggressive toward others. Sound familiar? And they resist being corrected. This applies to the schoolyard bully and to the average Republican. They show little empathy toward others who are victimized. Sounds Republican to me. And if they're boys and they are physically stronger than the other boys in general, that of course sets them off. Or if they're adults, then of course they use the proxy penis called the military to advance their goals. In any case, a fellow in Nova Scotia had a run-in with some bullies at a high school. He arrived on the first day of school. He's a ninth grade student. First day of school, about a week ago, and he was, according to this article, they put it nicely, sat upon by a group of 6 or 10 older students. They mocked him. They called him a homosexual, although I seriously doubt they used that big, long word when the word fag or queer is so convenient, for wearing pink. I don't know what he was wearing that was pink. it's Nova Scotia. Maybe it was a pink sweater. Maybe it was a pink cap. I don't know. Maybe he was dressed head to toe in pink. Doesn't matter to me. Pink is only a color. But you see, it threatened those who require, how can I put it, a defined set of rules for the gender. And it threatened those who were insecure in their own genders and must enforce rules like that so that they feel more comfortable. Well, a couple of 12th grade students, heroes in my estimation, David Shepherd and Travis Price, decided they were going to do something about it. What they did was they got over half the student body. There's 830 people in the school. They got over half the student body to wear pink to school the next day. In fact, they went out to a discount store and bought 75 pink tank tops for the handout for the other students to wear. They handed out the shirts in the lobby before class, and even the student who had been bullied, they gave him one too. They made sure there was a shirt for him. So there was a mass number of students milling around in pink to protest this harassment. Well, the bullies could not take it. Let me tell you, it was a total meltdown. One of the guys was throwing chairs in the cafeteria. What did I tell you? Impulsive, easily angered. When there's no control, they've got to have control. Lord have mercy. In fact, that was kind of the response they were expecting, some sort of over-the-top violent incident. And with bullies, as usual, there's usually one guy who's the leader. Then there are the passive bullies and the bullies who follow along with in various degrees of culpability. The silent bully, the verbal bully. Then there's the main bully who tends to be the one that they follow. The leader, they all need a leader. In any case, these two kids, the two seniors, have explained that it's my last year, he says. One of the fellows, David, says, it's my last year in school, and I've stood around too long. I wanted to do something. Apparently, David himself was bullied in the past. I have no idea for what. You don't have to really do much to get bullied these days. So, there has been a deluge of emails. Deluge. There have been interview requests from CBS and New York and the largest daily newspaper in Spain. These guys are becoming huge for standing up to these bullies. It's one of the things we'll talk about with our Gleason people when they come on the show soon about GLBT straight gay alliances in school. Travis, one of the fellows who stood up, said, I've talked more the last couple of days than I have in my whole life. I know what you mean, Travis. The internet blogs discussion group across the continent and across the world are just buzzing with all of this. Travis is saying we don't want to remove the focus from the situation about bullying to us. People are telling them they're celebrities and they're going to go down in history. Well, I think you sort of like the Boston Tea Party, you know. You know, it's nice to have friends. It's nice to have friends. And this guy's a new student in the school. You know, I think that shows a lot of progress. He didn't know David, and he didn't know Travis, new school. And Davis and Travis decided this was unjust, partly because of the huge amount of work that's been done for many, many years, all the way back to Dr. Kameny and before, by the gay community to make people aware. How many more have to die before it becomes a non-issue? So that's the story of David and Travis, and maybe one day we can have them on the show. I've got to tell you, Davis and Travis are probably too busy to fool with me right now. So, in fact, even if I knew how to get in touch with them, but I imagine they'll do the CBS's and the main newspaper in Spain prior to coming on Strictly Confidential. And, surprise, surprise, another Republican is convicted of a sexual assault. Remember, we just did a story not long ago regarding the fellow from the Young Republicans who was caught fellatiating a heterosexual man who was asleep at his sister's house. And, you know, what can I tell you? You know, you never want to leave your kids around the Republicans. You really just do not want to do that. He was this guy, he's a, his name is Chris Austin. Chris Austin. And he is an ex-gay counselor, praise the Lord. He's from Irving, Texas. And he was convicted today of sexually assaulting a client. He has been a speaker for Evergreen and National Association for the Research and therapy of homosexuality. Yes, indeed, he was a bigwig in the ex-gay therapy movement. So apparently he's been accused and is in fact convicted of engaging in improper sexual behavior that included, here again, oral copulation, fondling, during counseling sessions that spanned more than a year. So what he did was, there was one of the folks that was trying to recover from homosexuality, and he was being counseled by Mr. Austin. And over a period of time, he convinced the man to participate in, quote, touch therapy, which apparently doesn't really exist in that organization. The therapy gradually progressed to nude sessions and physical intimacy. Surprise, surprise. And Mr. Austin is also a Sunday school teacher. Yes. He was sentenced to, to 10 years in prison, but he actually received 7 years probation. Boy, they're big on giving those Republicans probation, aren't they? He had to register as a sex offender. Of course, we know that Republicans don't always do that, as was evidenced by the North Carolina doctor of the day, which we talked about a while back. We've talked about so many things in this program. Oh, my stars. It just, the hits just keep on coming. And then the reply to this. We've got a reply. I'm not sure which news source I pull this from, or perhaps a blog. But in any case, Jeremy writes in, anyone who has ever met Dr. Chris Austin knows that these allegations are blatantly false. I've seen Dr. Austin for one-on-one and for group sessions for 5 years, and you're not straight yet? What's wrong with you, boy? And he says, I know most of the clients, and I have never seen or heard anything which would substantiate such absurd accusations. And I hope he appeals it, and he's soon vindicated. And the next writer indicates, with all due respect, Jeremy, he was convicted by a jury of his peers who heard the evidence. It's not hearsay, as anyone who's ever met him. Lord have mercy. Maybe you weren't his type, Jeremy. Maybe that's the reason he didn't try to blow your skirt out. Could be. Or maybe he didn't perceive you as being vulnerable, Jeremy. Could happen. In fact, it happens way too often. And oh my God. This is fairly new news. I think this is new news as today. The articles are a little bit mixed between new news and news that we didn't get to. But either way you go, it's all interesting. The American Civil Liberties Union says that Senator Craig, that's toe-tapping, pot-sitting Craig, should be allowed to withdraw his guilty plea. The secret sting operation that they used to arrest him was likely unconstitutional. And the reason for this is they're saying that the crime that could have been committed was public sex, but just because you can talk to someone in a bar about having sex, but it doesn't mean you're going to have sex in the bar. Apparently they're saying that Craig could have made hand motions and signals in the men's room that said he wanted to have sex, but that does not prove that he intended to do it in the men's room. And that, of course, just by talking about having sex, it violates your freedom of, your First Amendment right to speech, free speech rights. I'm not sure yet. Your free speech rights do come into play. So, another example of the police. Remember the policeman in the Tampa, or was it the Fort Lauderdale situation? He's the one who said, "How you doing?" to the what's his face that was in the men's room down there. Said, "How you doing, buddy?" or something. Yeah, that's what it is. "How you doing, buddy?" I mean, you just don't, you know. If the police would just keep them, just let things play out without interfering with it, you might get a conviction every once in a while. And speaking of the gay bus, that's become a tourist stop at the Minneapolis airport. Tourists are just flooding in there, and they all want to see the stall that was made famous by U.S. Senator Larry Craig. Yes, it's become a tourist attraction, my friends. People are taking pictures. The number one question asked for information at the airport is, where is that restroom? One of the employees said that she had been on duty for 15 minutes and had already been asked the directions to that particular men's room 4 times. Airport field workers are being asked the same question. the shoeshine guys being asked the question, and people are taking pictures outside the bathroom. They're going in, they're taking pictures of the potty and the stall. You know, they just ought to have it bronzed and give it out like a Tony to the U.S. Senators, the Republican Party, as they do these sort of things. You know, what we really ought to do is just have penis-shaped lollipops and give them out to the Republicans when they first come on duty. That would probably just save a lot of taxpayer expense just to give them, you know, a tutti-frutti penis-shaped lollipop that they could suck on in Congress. It would placate them for a while. Yes, indeed. Interesting point. I talked briefly by email today with Julia, and I came across this. It reminded me of her. This is a spoof, just a couple paragraphs. Matt is a small, ineffectual man. Growing up, he always felt something was wrong. He preferred imposing his view on others instead of respecting them as individuals. Rather, he got Twitter-pated by attempting to control their lives, since he felt so out of touch with his own. And eventually, he made the self-determination that he was, in fact, a moralist trapped in a man's body. There were others who felt the same way, and the movement formed. They called themselves KKK Christians, and they made up fancy official-sounding terms like KKK Christian Identity and KKK Christian Reassignment Surgery. I mean, I don't even have to explain. Julia already knows I'm not thinking of her. You just have to have walked a mile of my shoes to appreciate how freaking funny this is. Oh, dear Lord. So they invented KKK Christian Reassignment Surgery, and they demanded that they be given special rights and government-mandated benefits. Additionally, they claimed to be exempt from paying taxes since they weren't trying to meddle in politics. And once they had secured this everlasting funding cycle all to themselves, they went to great lengths to protect it. Get the picture? Just a few lines long. My God, that was so funny. To whoever wrote this, kudos. KKK Christian Identity and KKK Christian Reassignment Surgery, because you are a moralist trapped in a man's body. I just think it is very funny. I could just pull out another stack here and start going on about all the transsexuals who have been beaten to death lately, so it's not funny like that, but it's funny when you can look at it in view of how damn hypocritical they are. And speaking of fabulous, which we weren't, but we are right now, Air New Zealand. Oh, honey. Air New Zealand is going to go into the gay lesbian market with a special themed flight. Yes, they are. This flight will feature drag queens, pink cocktails, and a cabaret performed by the flight crew. Cannot wait. It's a one-time flight. It's called the Pink Flight. It's going to depart San Francisco on February 26th, and it's headed to the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras in Sydney, Australia. And it is a well-attended gay event in Australia. John Fox, look out. They're headed down there with the drag queens and the pink cocktails. Says, we are looking at tailoring the in-seat entertainment by having gay-friendly movies and contests. Oh, Jesus. And music, different things like that, various music tracks. And but what a hoot. I mean, I just that would be a flight I would I'd love to be on. Drag queens and pink cocktails in the airplane. Oh, my. And a cabaret performed by the flight crew. If that's not priceless, honey, I don't know what is. And speaking of California and the flight leaving from California, Governor Schwarzenegger has on his desk for the second time in 3 years a bill passed by both the Senate and the House to legalize gay marriage. He is again saying that he will veto it, and he no doubt will because he is an asshole. Now, if you want more coverage, go somewhere else. That's all it gets on this show. And the SaveCalifornia.com, they are up in arms. You would not believe it. They are saying in one of their latest bulletins, homosexual assemblyman Mark Leno, Democrat, would create full-blown homosexual marriages, causing gay marriage ceremonies in every community in California, including yours, for every child to see. Oh, my. Mommy, why is that man kissing?
Lord have mercy.
They're saying that will also, it will, you know, by passing it, going to ruin the protection of marriage and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. A lot of things I cover with blah, 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 because we've all heard the words so long we just don't even need to hear them. Honest to God. They're also raising hell at SaveCalifornia.com with a law that they are saying is going to turn every public school into a hotbed of homosexual, bisexual, and transsexual indoctrination. Well, glory. As if we didn't have enough of us already. We're apparently running the whole damn government, at least the sick ones. So I don't think we need to turn out any more from the schools. In fact, we've got plenty, thank you. Force young children as young as kindergarten to believe that homosexuality, bisexuality, and transsexuality are good. Oh, hell no. That they're natural. And it's, maybe it's for them. Yes, the old, they're selling it routine. This is the old selling it argument. Good Lord. And they use the word penal code. You knew that was going to come up in here. The bill's based on the California Penal Code, which defines sexual orientation and blah, 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 blah. You've heard it all before. Oh, my. When did that come out? This is fairly new. That came out last week. Just last week. And they're claiming that it's going to require textbooks and instructional materials and, get this, school-sponsored activity, including cross-dressing. Oh, Jesus. The depth of stupidity. It's just horrifying. And they're going to talk about sex change operations and homosexual marriages and all the aspects of homosexuality and bisexuality, including gay history, which we love it in this show. We've had a couple of people who have been wonderful guests regarding gay history, and I'm working on getting some more. It's something that has been kept from us, and it's nice to hear the truth. It's going to force schools to distribute controversial materials which promotes transsexuality. Yeah, boy, that's bisexuality, homosexuality, all under the guise of anti-harassment. So I don't think we're particularly surprised at that attitude. No, sir. I don't think we are at all surprised. So let's find that little thing. As we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential. Call toll-free 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. I am your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Went to Disney World in Orlando 2 years ago. We didn't realize it, but I found out later they call it Gay Day. We saw several things that just were shocking. But the worst part of it was these people would kiss openly, you know, and embrace. But if we gave them a funny look, they would say rude things to us. Oh, yes, they were very hateful, very, you know, effeminate.
Church Lady Gone Wild. Meet Brother Russell this Wednesday on Strictly Confidential, 9 p.m. Eastern.
This day is mine.
Thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Ring, ring, telephone ring, somebody says, baby, what you doing? Been wondering where you've been. Now and then I think about you and me.
And we're back. The telephone number toll-free is 877, the number 4. Head on. That rings right into the studio, and it's toll-free. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, please use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I must tell you, I was in an email exchange a little while ago with the Balerico folks, the managing editor, and of course he's going to be on this coming Wednesday evening, not this coming, but the Wednesday of next week, 26th. And one of the things that came up is perhaps an interview with their technology people as to how the GLBT community can use technology. Apparently they have a very high-tech fellow there who's totally up to speed on all the latest web-based ways of communication. As you all know, I'm a computer guy. I come from an office background, though, from, you know, file servers, you know, mail servers, you know, your standard business kind of serving Microsoft Word application. So this will be great fun. He's not coming out Wednesday. In fact, we haven't set up that interview yet. But I am, in fact, looking forward to that. That should be a very interesting conversation because we're there in blogging, and a very good, well-read blog, I might point out. In fact, is becoming the de facto standard for the GLBT community. And, of course, we are in conversation radio, so both of these are electronic media, and they are both happening on the Internet in packet form as we speak. So this should be an interesting conversation. Thank you for suggesting that, Bill Browning, and we'll have to set that up. I'm very interested. And this has absolutely nothing to do with the topic I told you that we stuck with at the beginning of the show, but I cannot resist telling you this. Over the last 10 years, they have been losing in the North Pole. They've been losing about 100,000 square kilometers per year on average. Okay, guess what it was this year? All of a sudden, there was a huge cascade, and this year, there has been 1 million square miles of loss in just a year. Do you know right now that the Northwest Passage is open for the first time in written history? Shipping people are scrambling to book it. It's not open all year, but the Northwest Passage, you know, a short way to get to Japan and Asia, is open for the first time ever in recorded history. And we've gone from 100,000 square kilometers per year to 1 million square miles, or kilometers actually, per year of loss of ice. I'd say we're in trouble, ladies and gentlemen, and I do not envy the younger folks for what they are going to inherit this generation, this administration is going to be kicked around for a long, long time. We will be remembered as the generation who blew it. In fact, if there's anyone in the future to write this stuff down. But since we don't know the future, we just continue on. It's about the best we can do. So all we can do is hope. A trans woman was fired from a Baptist church for wearing makeup. Can you believe it? She was a janitor, a cleaning person at this Methodist church, Baptist church for a number of years. Carrie Beth Richardson. She couldn't understand why the business administrator kept telling her to quit wearing makeup on the job. I mean, after all, she says the church's pastor, the Reverend Robert Jeffries, wore makeup all the time when he preached and appeared on television. In fact, he used very expensive... She has been in his office when he had his makeup out. It's all like Clinique and the, you know, the real expensive kind of stuff, stuff that, you know, she couldn't touch on her salary. And she also points out, I'm not sure it was just for Sundays either. She said, Richardson is her name. She's 54. She was simply stunned by the pastor's collection of makeup. So... She is a male-to-female transgender person and is transitioning on the job. I told her not to wear makeup, and so she stopped for a while and slowly began putting it back on. She felt more comfortable with it. She wasn't wearing a wig or anything, but she slowly began, you know, especially if she had the surgery. She says she, you know, even when she was a little, you know, she secretly... you know, wore female clothing, and it wasn't until she was 21 that she read a book about transgendered people, and suddenly everything clicked. She knew just who she was and what she was at that point. You see, nobody knows. That's the bad thing about growing up GLBT. You don't even know what you are. You just know you're not what they are. Other than that, you really can't put it. Things are changing, though. Times are getting better. Communication is better, but not in the era I grew up in. So in any case... starting to use a little bit more makeup here and there, and still not wearing the wig, and she had the surgery in 06, and this is a huge church, and I understand what she's trying to get across here by being a huge church. These Baptist churches, I have personally been in Baptist churches, these mega Baptist churches that take up an entire city block, literally. You walk in and the halls are like an airport. You know, there's these signs above where you're walking that point you in this direction and that direction when they're all lit, just like airport signs. It's just, it's horrifying. You cannot believe it. The hub, because, oh, they just draw them in like flies. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to the purity balls. Don't worry. There's purity balls in the stack, too. Not to worry. I've got them in here. Where would this network be without purity balls? Well, we've been talking about purity balls for a long, long time in the various shows. But we have some more purity ball dirt. But that's further down the stack. No, no, no. Stick where you are, Peter. Don't jump. Okay. So the church is refusing to discuss the fact that she was fired. They wanted her to sign a document. Offered her 6 week severance pay if she would sign a document agreeing not to discuss the church. She can't get unemployment because the way the church has it all worked out, you know, not only do you not pay taxes, you don't have to pay unemployment either because the church is nonprofit. Boy, that tell you what, that's a sweet deal. If we could get a deal like that if they had on radio network, it'd be a sweet deal. And so anyway, she has been fired, and she says it seems pretty damn unfair to me. So the least the church could have done is ordered the pastor to keep his makeup from plain view. And we talked about that with another pastor a while back. I can't remember who. We've been through so many who had more makeup than you could shake a stick at. I know what we want to do. We had a request Friday night, a music request, and I do not want to run over and miss running that. Our dear friend Billy Shears had this track, and at the time it was requested by someone in our chat room, which is, by the way, the chat room is accessible off of strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll see a link to chat. And I did not have a copy. Told her I'd look for one, but Billy Shears contacted us. Now, Billy Shears is our music guru, whom I don't try, mind telling you I'm trying to finagle getting him on this show. I would love to interview Billy. I know all of you would love to hear Billy. Yes, yes, chat room, we're going to get to the Purity Vault. Don't worry about it. We're going to do a little music. We're going to head right over to the Purity Vault. And in any case, our listener, Fantasy Free, had requested this track called The Other Woman. And it's done by Nina Simone and friends. And Billy sent it right along. Thank you, Billy. But there's not a lot of music that Billy does not know about or has heard or has access to, which is why he does an amazing show on Saturday evenings. And you should join us for that. The program runs from 9 till midnight on Saturday evenings, and it is a music show done by Billy Shears. Just amazing. And the chat room is open during that period of time also. So thank you, Billy, for sending it in. And this is for Fantasy Free. It's called The Other Woman by Nina Simone and friends.
The other woman finds time to manicure her nails. The other woman is perfect where her rival fails. And she's never seen with pin curls in her hair. The other woman enchants her clothes with French perfume. The other woman keeps fresh-cut flowers in each room. There are never toys, it's scattered everywhere. And when her man comes to call, he'll find her waiting like a lonesome queen. Cause when she's by his side, such a change from old routine. But the other woman will always cry herself to sleep. The other woman will never have his love to keep. And as the years go by, the other woman will spend her life alone. But the other woman will always cry herself to sleep. The woman will never have his love to keep. And as the years go by, the other woman will spend her life alone.
Beautiful track, and I have to admit, I had a small chuckle with the first lyric. We had just completed a story about the preacher wearing makeup, and the lyrics immediately kick into the other woman has time to do her nails. I just thought, that's divine. That's justice. Thank you for requesting that, Fantasy Free in chat. Beautiful track. And Friday, there is going to be a formal display of the Fundy creepiness. This is from Pam over at the coffee house. What am I calling? Lord, she'll forgive me if I can't call it right now. It's bad if I don't have things right in front of me. Let's see. She is calling it Daddy Dobson's territory, and in fact, it is. It is a major father-daughter purity ball. It is going to be complete with a dinner and a dance and a ballet performance, live chamber music, a procession of young women who will lay white roses at the huge wooden cross, and they and their fathers will dance in the ballroom, and Daddy will participate in a covenant signing ceremony pledging to protect her virginity. And the promoters are calling it a counter-cultural event, as you might imagine. Because the world's all evil, so this is counter to the evil in the world. You understand how they think. And it's for fathers and daughters all across the nation. It's a huge. It's happening everywhere. This is just I'm imagining it's happening right here in good old Tallahassee. They're gathering for the annual Father-Daughter Purity Ball. And it started back in 1998. I think we discovered it here at the Horn shortly after that and began talking about it. It was a parents named Randy and Lisa Wilson, and they started the event and turned into a huge movement, and a for-profit movement, I might add. Their website's devoted entirely to purity balls. you have to have your purity ball ring, and you have to have your purity ball dress. And Daddy has to have a purity ball tuxedo. Oh, it's a big... You know, if there's a way to turn a buck, boy, those people find it. Not just a simple, a kneeling before Christ thing, a family thing. No, honey, it's spectacle. It's MGM. You got to have a ring. It's as bad as a damn Easter bunny. You got to have a basket. Oh, it's just amazing to me. So anyway, the ball is attracting huge amounts of attention. There are going to be journalists there from Britain and Canada and Italy and Finland and on and on and on and on. The event is Restoring Fatherhood, one of the most critical issues facing our culture. Oh, I thought gay marriage was the most critical issue facing us today. Research has shown that the most important man in a daughter's life is her father. Oh, really? Well, that might be true of the lucky ones. Some little girls sexually abused by their fathers. Some little girls have to be taken in by others because their fathers are dead. You have to be normal. You have to toe the straight and narrow. You have to be right in the little nuclear normal family to fit into these big old Baptist churches. Otherwise, you might as well get the hell out of Dodge because they got no room for you there. The fathers will stand before the daughters and recite a pledge. Lay your hands on your mother, folks. Lay your hands on the monitor. I, insert your name, I, let's see, I, Beulah's father, choose before God to cover my daughter as her authority and protection in the areas of purity. Well, we know where that area is, don't we, Daddy? And I will be pure in my own life as a man, husband and father, and I will be a man of integrity and accountability as I lead, guide, and pray over my daughter and my family as the high priest in my home. Well, there's just a little bit of ego going there. This covering will be used by God to influence generations to come. Now, I don't have anything against abstinence. In fact, you can get involved in relationships way too early and get your life pretty much completely out of kilter because of it. Yes, you certainly can. And so, too early is not a good thing, but the spectacle, the hypocritical, just pure spectacle of this is just offensive to me. Nothing, there's no quiet confession before God here. It's all spectacle with an orchestra and caviar and high price punch and Daddy rents a tuxedo. Oh, they're selling him one. So the purity balls aren't exactly keeping... Oh, those purity balls, they ain't working like the good old-fashioned prayer, like the good old-fashioned kneeling before God in your closet. No. Right. No, we'll go there. In 06, Byron Weathersby, the chaplain at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, and a school that's affiliated with the conservative Southern Baptist Convention, which is where the damn George Bush Library ought to be going. But why not tumble over another Protestant denomination by taking over another? Why just settle for the Southern Baptists? Well, you can have them all. By the way, an architect has been hired for the George Bush Library at Southern Methodist University, and the White House is still not telling anyone that it's going to be there. Of course, it will cause huge wailing and gnashing of teeth amongst the Methodists when the information does get out, but I've been talking about it here for months. You all know it, and you know the issue well, and you know how it's impacted me personally. I'm thoroughly embarrassed to be associated with them and will no longer be. It's a shame, isn't it? How could I ever be associated with an organization that would stoop so low as to lift up that son of a bitch? Christ in heaven, just... In any case, the back to the purity balls, the... there was a study on the effectiveness of this purity ball virginity pledge stuff in Christians. 100% professed faith in Christ. Okay. 99% attended church. Now, he's talking about the young women. 84% grew up in church. 87% grew up in a two-parent home. 62% of the males had premarital sex. 65% of the females had premarital sex. And only 27% of the fundees surveyed managed to stay completely chaste, not engaging in any intercourse or other sex acts. Now, there's another survey done regarding the 10 worst states in the nation regarding teen pregnancy. And the Texas was it, by the way. No wonder they're having the purity balls. The little Purdy Baptist girls and the little Purdy Baptist boys, they're breeding like bunnies. Okay, the teen birth rate, and we're talking about Texas now. The teen birth rate, they rank 47th in the nation in terms of bad, which means they're practically number one. Percent change in teen birth rate, they are 44th. The birth rate for younger teens, 48th. You know, all this spectacle, and there are other stats, which, you know, it all goes in one eye and out the other, I know. But this spectacle, it's not worth a damn. It's not what it's about. You know, maybe instead of the purity balls, you ought to be talking about purity condoms. And by the way, condoms are taking a new look when you walk into your drugstore. At least y'all who are in larger cities, it might take a while to, you know, drift out into the boonies because it's going to cause a hell of an uproar. But, you know, for many years, wearing a condom has been the staple of safe sex in the gay community, and it should be in the straight community, too. But the problem is the damn packaging. You know, gay men are getting pretty sick of buying condom packages that have, like, you know, sensitive for you and ribs for her, you know, and little silhouettes of moonlight and the man and a woman kissing. You know, it's all in the packaging, honey. So anyway, a gay-owned condom company, they're called Southie. They're in South Boston, by the way. They're going to change all that. They're coming out with a huge line of condoms, and they're all going to be, you know, gay packaged with, like, you know, innuendo slogans and skydivers and, you know, hunky guys sort of thing, you know. And some will have artwork with gender neutral or, you know, but not the heterosexual stuff. So they're going to be calling them Pride Mix and all sorts of various names. The article goes on for pages and pages, and... And, you know, it's just too many details for us to wander through. But, well, hell yeah, it's about time. You know, we've already got us a Ford Probe. We already built Absolute Vodka from nothing to one of the name brands because they advertised the gay magazines. So the gay community adopted it. Now Absolute's a name brand. Did you know how that started? That's how that started. And, of course, the American Family Association is pretty pissed off that we have a Ford Probe. But now we got our own rubbers, honey. I know that's going to cause a great stink. Yes, Lord. You know, it's just... Sometimes you have to feel sorry for the fundies. Just things ain't working out like they thought it would. But they're sure raising money on the Bash Gays Department. That's a money-making thing. Well, it won't be for long. You know, these things will change. They slowly are changing. Even I can see the difference. And by the way, I think I covered this the other night, but just in case I didn't, the third person who was sentenced in the Alabama anti-gay hate crime thing, we talked about the movie a while back, Small Town Gay Bar, which, by the way, it is available at, Blockbuster. and other outlets, I'm sure. But it's a very good movie, very powerful, and that this man's mother is in the movie. So I'm not sure if I mentioned it. It seems like I did, but nonetheless, I do want to tell you that the last person, who is a woman, by the way, was sentenced, and I think she got, well, they all got, like, they're all going to get consecutive life sentences, I believe, but they pled guilty in order to avoid a death sentence. Yes. And, oh yeah, I want to tell you what Nagel did. You know, coming up at the top of the hour, but I'm going to try to fit this in and tell you what he did. You know, he's the mayor down in Fort Lauderdale. So what he did was he got himself together a coalition of ministers, and these are primarily black ministers. You know how the main slant these days is to you know, co-opt the black community into hating us. This goes back to the whole Alabama thing. It's basically where it started there. You know, when there was a race in Alabama recently, Patricia Todd versus Gaynell Hendricks, and whichever one of those happened to be the GLBT person, they won, and it was huge. They started putting out notices like homosexual activists are marching out of the strongholds in San Francisco and South Beach and Provincetown. They have their eyes set on such places as the land of spandex stretched polyester. No. I mean, the land of cotton. And the homosexual lobby is on a quest to raise its rainbow flag over every statehouse in the union. Blacks in the South are now learning this lesson. They're taking over your candidates, you know. So anyway, there's this huge effort to disenfranchise us from the black community by making us victims. That's one way to split the vote. But anyway, Nagel got himself together a coalition of primarily black ministers and paraded them out. Now, what's amazing here, he says he paraded them out in hopes of reclaiming the city's biblical heritage and to take control. Now, here's what I haven't told you. These guys are all dressed up in paramilitary outfits. That's right. They're dressed up as soldiers. The threat is very clear. See, he shows up with men who are supposed to be of the cloth, but they're wearing paramilitary uniforms. So this is just, you know, the whole war thing, you know, to intimidate the gay community. It says, the article goes, gay people don't parade around with the intent of scaring people, and you know. But that's what, so Nagel has gone to the bottom line tactic here of dressing the ministers in paramilitary outfits here. And they're going to enforce and ensure that immoral behavior is not tolerated in this city or throughout the country. Boy, I tell you what, we as a body of Christ support the mayor because he's addressing a moral crisis, said one of the paramilitary outfitted. And he says, people have to understand we're in a spiritual war with Satan. That would be me. Oh, yeah, and I'll go back into that in a minute. We are at top of the hour. They're reminding us. And so we'll go to the top of the hour news, and love you guys. See you on the flip-flop.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House nominee for Attorney General is drawing immediate praise from both Democrats and Republicans. President Bush has nominated a retired federal judge from New York to be the next Attorney General. 66-year-old Michael Mukasey is known as a law and order conservative. Analysts expect the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates for the first time in more than 4 years when it meets tomorrow. Economists say lowered rates could help stave off a possible recession driven by a sluggish housing market and the American consumers' growth. growing credit card debt. Nation's largest banks are set to give their earnings reports tomorrow. One of the largest security contractors in Iraq lost their operating license and now must leave the country. Gunmen employed by Blackwater allegedly opened fire in a Sunni neighborhood yesterday, killing 8 civilians. Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr says his movement will resign from the Shiite bloc of the Iraqi parliament. It is the country's latest challenge in forming a unity government. U.S. forces arrested a man in connection with last week's assassination of an Anbar Sheikh. An al-Qaeda-led group says they'll launch new attacks to mark the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. A decision is on hold concerning a firm deadline for North Korea to disable its nuclear facilities. International talks have been postponed indefinitely. China has freed a New York Times researcher from prison after 3 years behind bars. 45-year-old Zhao Yan was convicted of fraud, a charge he continues to deny. China is currently holding more than 80 Chinese journalists. That's according to human rights groups. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf says he will resign from the military in order to run for re-election in November. The general seized power in a coup 8 years ago. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez threatened to close any private school that refuses to subscribe to his socialist government as it develops new curriculum and textbooks. Chavez's opponents accuse him of trying to indoctrinate young Venezuelans. At least 4 Americans were killed, 1 injured in yesterday's plane crash in the resort island of Phuket, Thailand. A total of 89 people were killed there. Typhoon Nari in South Korea has killed at least 7 people. Hundreds of domestic flights within the country are canceled. You've been listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news just ahead.
It won't be long before every business and most individuals will have their own website. Whether they are looking for new clients or posting information of use to their colleagues, the website makes printing brochures and price sheets, press releases, and community notices virtually obsolete. With your own website, you can provide the latest information as it becomes available on new products and services, special offers, and company news. You no longer have to stare at errors or out-of-date information that was printed up in bulk. For organizations, you can bring your message to the public, just as you are knitting tighter relations with your supporters and staff. The people who can make all of that possible are at Byte Technology. Find out more. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178. Byte Technology, 656-9178.
The fourth giant panda born at the San Diego Zoo is a baby girl. The 6-week-old cub is in good health. Pandas are one of the world's most endangered animals. Less than 180 live in captivity. Researchers say an ocean route historically blocked by Arctic ice is now open and navigable. The Northwest Passage is the most direct shipping route between Asia and Europe. It is now clear of ice for the first time in recorded history. Dole Food Company recalled bagged salads sold in the U.S. and Canada over concerns that some batches could be tainted with E. coli bacteria. The recalled salads have a best-if-used-by date of September 19th. A European Union court upheld a 2004 landmark ruling today, finding Microsoft guilty of breaking antitrust law in the European market. Microsoft is appealing a $613 million civil penalty. The company has also been ordered to share operating information with industry rivals. E-Trade says it plans to eliminate its wholesale mortgage business. The company also lowered profit expectations by 25% for the year. Light sweet crude trading at $80.57 a barrel. That's up $1.47. Gold at $723.80. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 39 points at 13,403. There's always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And he's back. He's back at 877, the number 4, head on, or 304-658-3333, or Peter at headonradionetwork.com. If you recall, last week we did the very disturbing story. It was difficult for me to get through of the transsexual woman who died of AIDS complications, of AIDS, while being held at a immigration facility in California. They refused to give her any meds. They took her to the hospital when she was just about to die. The hospital revived her. They sent her back to the room with the 80 other people being held. These are 80 men, by the way. They refused to put her with women. The room was designed to hold 50. She was in there with 80. She was basically on the floor and eventually died on the floor. They carried her. They lovingly took care of her, the inmates, by carrying her back and forth to the restroom and applying cool cloths to her head, and watched her as she died while the Immigration Service would do nothing. And it's not just there. It's happening in county jails all over this country. And I'll tell you how. Here's an article about Fort Lauderdale, where the mayor is from. HIV-positive inmates who are in, Broward County, Palm Beach County, sometimes they wait weeks and sometimes for months before they get their antiviral medications. Now, I don't know if you know this is if you know much about it, but when someone is on an antiviral, the last thing you do is to stop taking it for any period of time. This allows the virus to form different strains of itself, to mutate and become adaptive to the drugs that you are on. Now, there are only so many drugs you can go through before you run out of drugs. Of course, new ones are coming out fairly regularly, but nonetheless, going to jail. You know, a lot of people in county jails are not sentenced. They're just people who are accused of something. They've not been to trial. They can't afford the bail, for instance, is one of the reasons people languish in jail for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, sometimes over a year. If they have a complicated case and their public defender will not go ahead and do the research necessary to pursue the case. You see, being arrested is not a death sentence. If you have someone who has HIV and they're following their medications, and they're arrested, and because they are arrested, they're removed from their medications. You can't imagine what it's like to be locked up in a cage knowing that they are applying the death penalty, whether you're sentenced or not, because that's what it is. To remove your medications is to kill you, period. Pretty simple. Doesn't require rocket science to figure it out. This is well known amongst judges and various attorneys. It's happening all over the country, really. I know for a fact it's happening in Florida. The Sun Sentinel newspaper is quoting attorneys and medical groups are reporting that the alleged delays, these delays are intentional, you see, because AIDS medications are so cheap. And it's much simpler to let someone sit without than to spend the amount of money necessary. These delays are killing some inmates and causing others to develop full-blown AIDS because they've been taken off their medications. The antivirals must be taken on a regular basis. If they're missed repeatedly or taken irregularly, the body can build up immunity to the medication. So delaying the delivery of ongoing HIV medication is completely unacceptable, says Dr. Ron Shansky. He's a member of the National Commission on Correctional Health Care, which accredits lockups. Now, God, what a contradiction in terms. Accredited lockup. God Almighty. I guess that means the lockups with the less evil hillbillies. Not that everyone's evil in jail, but it sure helps. I mean, you know, if you're going to accomplish their mission, I think it pretty much helps. I apologize to anyone of my listeners who's in the corrections business that does not fit that shoe. In any case, the Sun Sentinel says that at least 15 HIV inmates had lodged complaints this year about delays in getting their drugs, and the people wait days and weeks, and that jails and counties are denying this allegation. However, as I say, I know for a fact it's common knowledge. Now, I'm asked in the chat room, do they treat diabetics, cancer patients, heart patients? Why, yes, because the medications for diabetes Now, cancer, I don't know. Some cancer treatments are expensive. Heart patients, absolutely, it's a pill. You see, it's the cost. HIV medications, what, $2,000, $3,000 a month? Diabetics, what, hit them with some insulin? Yeah, that's taken care of immediately. They ask you all these questions when you go into a jail. So, yeah, those are all taken care of. It's just you better not have one of those expensive diseases, especially if it's a sex disease. Lord have mercy. And by the way, speaking of going to jail, when you bisexuals up there in Massachusetts, don't you get yourselves arrested. The Bisexual Resource Center and the Fenway Community Health will co-sponsor a local celebration to celebrate, who knew, Bisexuality Day on September 20th. Way to go, guys. You got your own day. I think we need to do Bi Pride. No, we just get one day to mix it all up, don't we? Okay, all right. Anyway, it's being hosted at the Tavern in the Square in Cambridge Central Square. And there are going to be books available. Let's see. There's something new from the National GLBT Task Force. A cash bar, bisexual health magazines, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, don't y'all end up in jail up there in... Because you sure don't want to end up in the county jail. Disturbing story that happened last week. I think there have been some arrests at this point. In fact, I'm sure there have been. There definitely have been. Happened in West Virginia. It could happen anywhere. It probably does happen everywhere throughout the South, but just that this particular case got caught. It's been in the news, but nonetheless, I want to make a comparison to, we're talking about GLBT rights, and but 150 years from now, they'll still be doing stuff like this to us. Prejudice is a very, very slow thing to die, and it's proof that racism is not dead either. This comes originally from the smoking gun. A black West Virginia woman was sexually assaulted and stabbed and tortured while being held captive by her white abductors, one of whom told her, "That's what we do to niggers around here." That was a brilliant 23-year-old man. The victim was freed Saturday after the police responded to the home of Frankie Brewster for a welfare check on a female that was reportedly being held against her will. I think a neighbor must have turned the situation in. They claimed that there was no one in the home, but when the police stood at the door, the victim limped up to the doorway and said, "Help me." She had been held for more than a week. She has stab wounds. She has bruised eyes, repeated sexual assault. She was forced to lick their feet, both the female occupants and male occupants of the house, and other bodily parts, which don't need to be named here. They forced her to eat dog feces and rat feces, etc., etc. Many of you have heard this story, but I had intended it to cover here, and some of you may not have heard it. In any case, the owner of the mobile home, one Frankie Brewster, was charged with kidnapping and sexual assault and giving false information. They've all been arrested and charged with something. But I'm told that in some parts of Alabama, even black folks are just not supposed to be there. And apparently some parts of West Virginia, too, you run your risk just by doing a drive-through. You better not run out of gas. And it's the same for us. Boy, prejudice. Why is hate so slow to die? What is it about hating people? What is it about everybody having to have someone who's inferior to you that you can kick the shit out of to make you feel better about your sorry self? Speaking of their sorry selves, the American Family Association is at it again with an action alert. And now they're back on the Fords again. They are crowing that Ford sales are collapsing and that they are the reason why. And simply put, people are not buying Fords. Can you believe this? Because they support homosexuality. And they're crowing over the August report that Ford dropped 14.4% in sales. And this is all, of course, because they have a pro-homosexual marriage, and they advertise them pro-homosexual magazines. Now, GM sales went up. This is because GLBT community never buys GM. We know better than that. And he says it's obvious that the homosexuals don't have enough purchasing power to keep Ford afloat. If you haven't already done so, sign the boycott to Ford. And the standard action alert text is repeated several times. Forward this email to everyone you know. And couldn't you help support us? Yes, it's a mighty powerful fundraiser. This jackass Donald Wildman is also in the film Small Town Gay Bar. That movie really made a huge impression on me, by the way, if you do get a chance to see it. Donald Wildman is there in the movie. And he's one of the scenes in there that Donald Wildman from Action Alert is actually blocking traffic on a bridge so that he can take photographs of license plates of people who are going to a gay bar. Never ceases to amaze me. Tell you what we're going to do. We have a couple of requests tonight and a dance track. And one of the requests, we'll do one of the requests first. Someone asked if I had a copy of Shout, done by Tears for Fears. Well, yeah. And I'll do you one better. I have the Disturbed lyrics, and it's called Shout 2000, and this is the Body Pump remix, and it's originally by Tears for Fears, but it's re-edited and mixed in with Disturbed. And it's really, I actually kind of like this song. Some people may not. But in any case, yes, we do have Tears for Fears, and this is the Body Pump remix, Shout 2000.
Shout, shout.
amazing track. It's I still love that track. Disturbed remix. Speaking of Disturbed, from Dr. James Dobson, Marriage Under Fire. He has presented to us in a very concise and abbreviated form the 10 reasons that same-sex marriage would affect me. Oh, I see. You mean affect you. You don't mean affect me. You mean the normal people. Okay. Gotcha, James. Okay. The number one reason, or should I start and do it like they do on late night television? Number 10. No, start with number one. The number one reason that gay marriage will affect you and not me is that the implications for children in a world of decaying families are profound. And it goes on for about three paragraphs, which we won't go through. And it even mentions the Apostle Paul, and who addresses the epidemic of homosexuality that was rampant in the ancient world. And it quotes some Bible verse. Just accept this, that the implications for children in a world of decaying families are profound. What you have not done is told me how I'm decaying your family. Am I like a bad banana thrown in there against the apples? It's hard to say. Now, the number two reason, from Dr. James Dobson, is the introduction of legalized gay marriage will lead to, you already know the words, polygamy and other alternatives to one man, a one woman union. It discusses things like marrying your pet, who of course cannot give legal. I mean, we know all about, we've heard this stuff, we know all the reasons why. Oh, and he has the nerve to go to Utah to prove this about a polygamist in Utah who the state attorney's office in Utah has said quite out loud that they are not going to prosecute polygamy cases in Utah. It's interfering with their religious freedom, don't you know? But they actually do here. They go to Utah to prove that you can marry more than one man. Or God, is love. So anyway, that's number two. It goes on for a couple of paragraphs, but it's all... Oh, here we go. How will gay marriage... Here, there's a question. How will it set the table for polygamy? Because there is no place to stop once that Rubicon has been crossed. Is that a fact? Well, it seemed to me that any kind of a marriage would be the Rubicon. All we're talking about now are the details. The number three reason, an even greater objective of the homosexual movement is to end the state's compelling interest in marital relationships altogether. Well, praise the Lord and kick the state out of my bedroom. Oh, my. After marriage has been redefined by moi, divorces will be obtained instantly without a court involved. Is that a fact? I think the divorce attorneys will have a few words to say about that. Don't think it'll go quite that way, but that's what Mr. Dobson says. He says it will take on the status of a driver's license or a hunting permit. Excuse me, bump the mic. Windscreen make noise, bad. It will take on the status of a driver's license or hunting permit. And number four, the legalization of homosexual marriage. Every public school in the nation will be required to teach that this perversion is the moral equivalent of traditional marriage between a man and a woman. That's argument number four. Textbooks and even conservative states will have to depict a man and a man. God forbid. Not that we don't already exist, not that we're sitting right next to you. They're implying that this suddenly will begin to exist. That we all know this. Argument number five. From that point forward, when marriage is legalized, courts will not be able to favor a traditional family involving one man and one woman over a homosexual couple in matters of adoption. Oh, you mean the playing field will be leveled? Imagine that. Argument number six, foster care parents will be required to undergo sensitivity training, ridding them of any bias in favor of traditional marriage. I'll vote for that. Argument number seven, how about the impact on Social Security? Oh, my. Now, if there are millions of new dependents that would be entitled to survivor's benefits, what? Didn't these millions of new dependents pay into the system all these years? Oh, you just want it for you. We're just accessories. We're worker drones. So it will amount to billions of dollars in an already overburdened system. And how about the cost to American business? Blah, 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 blah. Argument number 8, marriage among homosexuals will spread throughout the world just as pornography did after the Nixon Commission declared obscene material beneficial to mankind. Did that happen? Somebody tell me that Nixon did not declare obscene material beneficial to mankind. I must have been asleep during that chapter. In any case, and when Nixon did that, instantly English-speaking countries liberalized their laws against smut. Okay, that was number 8. Argument number 9. Perhaps most important, the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be severely curtailed. Meaning here hate speech, I'm sure. And number 10, the culture war will be over. Well, so what's wrong with that? The culture war will be over, and I fear the world may soon become as it was in the day of Noah. This climactic change will be a battle to preserve the family, and future generations hang in the balance. Apocalyptical. No, I'm not, you know. Anyway, let's take that as clear and succinct that it is from his book. And we all know that if James Dobson says it, it must be true. And this story has, been meaning to mention this several nights. The lesbian who was a Top Chef contestant, she was in the Bravo show, season 2 of the Bravo Top Chef. Apparently, she's quite a good cook. They arrested an Oregon man for beating her. His name is Matthew Wally, and he's 20 years old. It's funny how Matthew got a little ticked off because she and some other women had gone to a bar and she was dancing with a female. They were slow dancing, God forbid. And 10 or 12, they got thrown out of the club. It's on Long Island. And 10 or 12 people followed them out and they were yelling at the women and anti-gay epithets and spat on them and threw rocks at them. And at one point, the crowd began beating the women. There were bruises and head injuries. A video recorder was stolen from one of the women. So in any case, Matthew was arrested for that. Apparently, he was one of the ringleaders. He just can't have these women. That woman, she's mine. She can either be alone or she can be with a good old studly puppet like me, but she cannot, and I repeat, she cannot be with another woman. I don't care if the bitch can cook. Jesus Christ, deliver us! Yea, there I'll walk through the valley of the United States. I will fear no evil. Oh, and Thompson freaked out the churchgoers the other day. He was says he attends church when he's in Tennessee, but he's not in Tennessee, and he doesn't attend church when he's not in Tennessee. Let me tell you, that really rocked the. I mean, he was already on shaky turf with the religion folks, religion industry. You know, when you go on vacation and when you tour the country or whatever, you're out of town, you always go to the local church of your particular persuasion. It's part of the vacation to fellowship with others. Nothing wrong with that. But unless it's a requirement to run for president, then in fact there is something wrong with that. And the crowd was very upset that he wouldn't commit to talking about God nationwide. He was only going to talk about God in the South. You know, I don't know who these people are going to vote for. I just don't know what they're going to do. It looks to me like they're just going to be a bunch of losers, and everybody's going to know they're a bunch of losers. And Congress is falling apart. What is it? The next election. Every single seat in the next election that's, some of the House and Senate that's up for, the Republican is up for election, is in play. They are in trouble in every single seat that's about... You know, this is just... Cannot wait. I didn't know that when they fell down, they would fall down this hard, but apparently they did, and they have. And we might do some international news. Oh, no, I should tell you about this in case you missed it. Larry Craig, the foot-tapping, potty-sitting Republican, has praised General Petraeus after that speech. I guess he's trying to deflect the media. You know, the Republicans are wanting him to keep his mouth shut, but he had to make a press statement. He made it from a potty somewhere in an airport. And there's the microphone. I was pleased to hear the forthright testimony before Senate committees today by General Petraeus. Boy, he is trying so hard to hang on to it, isn't he? Unfortunately, there were many who were quick to prejudge the surge and on ad nauseum. And, oh, remember Misty? Remember Misty, the free cycle woman that I've been stalking? I know the new listeners have no idea what I'm talking about. Free cycle is a service where you can ask for things that people don't want anymore. And Misty is trying to find herself a Bob Jones University satellite dish to hook up to a TV that she's also requesting to learn her children at home the Bob Jones way, to get them out of that sinful public school, to teach them just exactly where women stand and where the queers stand and about the evil, hateful nature of God. So in any case, Wendy is, you got to love this. Wendy's been asking for all these things. Wendy is at last offering some things. You know, with Free Cycle, you can either, you know, ask for things that people might not need anymore, or you can, in fact, offer things. Guess what Misty is giving away? Misty is giving away a real, honest-to-God, college-level science book. I just thought that was so funny. She wants the Bob Jones University course to teach her kids that evolution bad, and she's giving away a perfectly good college-level textbook on science. And apparently it comes with a CD or a DVD is inserted into it somehow or another. It's some sort of multimedia, but it was a real honest-to-God science book, and Misty is getting that evil thing out of her house. I'm surprised she didn't burn it. But that's what the latest Misty report is in Tallahassee. Oh, my. World's full of them. Let's see. We covered the chef. And, oh, yeah, human rights community, HRC, the Human Rights Committee. They did a corporate equality index. And it's very interesting to note that at this point, 195 corporations score 100% regarding being positive to LGBT policies within the company, like, equal benefits for insurance and, you know, time off if your loved one is ill, that sort of thing. And, countless other policies, you know, promoting but they are going LGBT positive. And in 2002, there were only 13 corporations that did that. In 2003, 26, and it began to grow exponentially. By 2006, it was 138, and by 2008, they've released the 2008 report. It'll be 195. And, it's funny that our equal rights have to come from, you know, this really is corporate America, is it not? We've said it so many times, that corporations have the legal status of individuals in this country. That's true. It's, Bob can explain it better than I can. Or, yeah, there's so many others. Even Tom Hartman can explain it. But yes, corporations have the status of a human being in this country. So in any case, the fact that we are being given equal rights by corporations means, of course, that, you know, the American Family Association cannot possibly boycott all these companies. In fact, most of these companies would find the American Family Association laughable because they're selling high technology products that the Family Association neither understands nor even is aware exists. But so I suppose as time goes by, then we'll finally be granted our civil rights from the corporations. They are doing that because they need to remain competitive. In order to attract and retain top talent, they need to do that regardless of orientation or gender identity. And they're finding out more and more that they are losing qualified employees, or some employees are not applying there to begin with simply because they do not open themselves up to the GLBT community. They're fair-minded companies, in other words. So there was one company, I want to tell you, FedEx only managed 55% because it didn't provide, this is shipping companies, of course, marriage benefits or benefits for domestic partners, whereas UPS scored a perfect score, even though they did have that little skirmish. What state was that in the Northeast that they had the skirmish about not wanting to pay the partners' benefits after UPS worker was killed or injured? One of them, there are states up north. You know, anything north of Atlanta is up north to me. Somewhere up north. It was just up north, y'all. Up north, UPS tried to get away with something. Oh, my stars. And I promised you last night. We were talking with caller Jim. Promised you last Friday. Caller Jim and I. Somehow we got talking about Joseph's amazing technicolored dream coat, I think it was called. We're talking about Ernest, who was involved in several plays. We got off on talking about various movies and plays. One of them that came up was Jesus Christ Superstar. Jim was asking if I remembered the song, I'll Let the Sun Shine In, and I said, yes, in fact, I do, and that I have a wonderful remix of it. And I'm going to share that with you. I had promised Jim I would run that later. I don't know if he's listening or not, but I love the song anyway, and I trust you will, too. It's really quite fabulous. It is by a group called Army of Lovers. And Army of Lovers is very popular in the GLBT community, at least was. This is not, you know, like last week. This is goes back a while because I got a little history, don't you know? And this is the Hot Tracks remix, Army of Lovers singing Let the Sun Shine In from Jesus Christ Superstar. And we're back. Now that was a soul thrilled foot stomping praise the Lord track right there, boy. I tell you what, if they do more of that soul rousing foot tapping praise the Lord stuff, maybe they could win some people to Christ. But no, they're too busy being the army of God. The army of God. Here's a good example. They just descended the army of God. Just descended on the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, just the other day. I'm looking at a photograph of a man wearing a t-shirt that says, "No homos, go to heaven!" Exclamation point. The text below it is a little blurry, but I'm sure it is a Bible verse reference. What else could it be? He's also holding a sign twice as tall as he is, obviously made with a budget. This is not a homemade sign. This is on a aluminum frame. You know, it's built for moving to campus, you know what I'm saying. And it is the Soul Winners Ministry International, and I'll tell you more about that in just a second. Right now we have caller Jim on the line. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Good evening, Peter. How are you?
Good evening to you, sir. I am fine.
I can barely hear you.
Okay. Agnes will have to adjust that send level, and I'm sure she's working on it right now. Can you hear me any better?
That's okay. I hear you fine by fine.
Good.
I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to your show, and I'll tell you why. I just received in the mail the box set of the, I guess you'd call it a docudrama, or The Winds of War.
Oh, cool, but you weren't paying attention to, you weren't hanging on every word I said. You realize what this means. It means we're through.
Tell them much. But, you know, honestly and truly, it's been a while since I've seen this, and, the only thing I can say is this from what I have said. If we can't, or if humanity cannot benefit from the mistakes that are illustrated by these and other things that have happened since World War II, then God help us.
Does seem like a lot of pedaling backwards, doesn't it, Jim?
It certainly does. You know, all of my life I've been trained in two things. One is history, basically, concentrated 1914, 1939, or educated. And the other training has been military. And when I see what's going on today, it's just absolutely devastating to have some of the people who are pushing the levers of power that we have in this country.
Pretty astounding. I suppose you know that Greenspan even came out against the idiot in his new book. I think Bob might have mentioned that earlier.
Well, all I can say is this. It's just absolutely all these wars are so important when they began and when they're fought, but when they finally are concluded and the dead are counted and the casualties are listed and the destruction ascertained, how many people can really tell you what they were really all about?
That is a good point, Jim. That is a good point. All these adopted ideals, these adopted thoughts, God never told these people that there's no homos going to heaven. This is all peer pressure from the pulpit. And so what will their excuse be when they're 60 years old and thinking back over their lives as the crap they did? I don't know. I wish I could just, flash to people what the truth was, but, you just can't do that. You have to just go one day at a time with these folks.
Well, I just wish one thing, that we could all simply learn to live together in some type of harmony and peace and understanding. Because our days on this planet are definitely numbered, and they do not need to be attenuated
I completely
by one
agree.
Person's belief being triumphant over another.
Yes, there was a quote that I read earlier that that Troy Perry said. Troy Perry was, of course, the founder of Metropolitan Community Church. At one point, he made the remark very similar to, Christ died for our sins, not our sexuality, I think is the way he put it. I thought that was well said.
Yes, exactly. And anyway, I think a lot of people have got the cart before the horse, and that is because of great concern. It really does.
Did you know about this thing that happened at the University of North Carolina? I was just about to do a story about the Soul Winners Ministry descended upon the UNC Chapel Hill campus to demonstrate Save Our Students. Who remembers Save Our Children? Now they're running Save Our Students. And these people, of course, are not even students on the campus. They are shipped in by some megachurch somewhere. You can be damn sure of that. They're going from campus to campus to hold up their homosex as a threat to national security banner. I'm reading it right off the page. Huge sign. We're a threat to national security, Jim. Did you know?
No. I've never been a threat to national security. As a matter of fact, I've been quite a part of it.
Oh, my. Well, you know, I suppose
so. And I'm just speaking to you as a human being, you know, with no sexual preference whatsoever.
Exactly. It doesn't amount to much, really, when you get right down to it.
As far as I'm concerned, and I'll say this publicly, I'm no homosexual. I care less what people do.
I'm pretty much over it myself, Jim.
I mean, I don't care what anyone does in the privacy of their own bedroom.
I don't either. In fact, I don't even really want to know.
And that's the pulpit from which I've always spoken on this program, really. And I just can't understand why they can't consider themselves with more worthy efforts. I really don't.
Well, I have just about come to the decision, Jim, that it has to do with fundraising. Apparently, this is a huge cash cow. Literally, millions of dollars flow in as a result of this sort of campaign. It's the most disgusting. You're talking about a sin. It's the most disgusting thing I can imagine is to stand on the backs of the GLBT people in the name of raising money.
Well, here's the thing. Whenever you create internal strife and civil unrest, and that's basically where this is headed, and turning people against the other inside a country, it's like a political war of the roses. It's a bloodletting operation in that particular case, in the War of the Roses, which the nobility of England performed upon its own body. And that's basically what we're doing to ourselves in this country when we take certain issues that are really very unimportant and make them something that they shouldn't be, and basically destroy not only fabric from within, but our own credibility from without.
I completely agree. Yes, I do. Jim, we're approaching the about
you,
1 minute. 1 minute left in the show, and so I'll do a wrap. And thank you so much for calling. And by the way, I've fed all those things into Netflix, and one of them was, what was it, King Henry or King something? There's like three different. I went for the 1995 version.
King Richard III, 1995, yeah. With Sir Ian McKellen. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I got. Excellent, excellent. That is in the old queue. Thank you for calling.
Well, good viewing, and take care.
Yes, sir. Good evening to you.
Good night, sir. Bye-bye.
Good night. That was our friend Jim. God, we had a good time the other evening on Bob's front porch. Now, those of you who weren't listening last week, you missed an incredible front porch conversation. There was myself and Kate on the road, and we had Jim, and we had a trucker, Alan, and we had Preston from Denver. And we ranged far and wide. Agnes and Chad are saying it wasn't the front porch, it was a parlor. Bless your heart, honey. Yes, it was a parlor. And we had a wonderful time. Oh, bless her heart. Okay, and let's see, where are we here? Yeah, I definitely need to do the bye-bye thing. Thank you so much to the moderators and the news ninjas who are in constant pursuit of the news truth. And thank you to Agnes and Bob. Bob, have a safe trip. Tomorrow we're going to miss you, and we're looking forward to hearing Bruce Birch, and we're glad that he's back. Bruce will be filling in for Bob Kincaid. And I have a guest tomorrow night. Please tune in. An excellent, amazing music guest. You won't believe this.